This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. So Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace have spoken. Robert Quinn, Nick Foles are also going to meet the media. Jimmy Graham already did one a week ago. Jeff Dickerson's been part of all of it. He is our NFL and Bears insider, and he joins me now. Okay, JD, are you surprised by what you heard, encouraged by what you heard? Grade and evaluate what you just heard from the Bears hierarchy.
Well, Cap, I mean, no one should be surprised that this job could end up being Nick Foles's. That was evident the day they traded for him, a fourth-round pick. You pick up $21 million. And guaranteed money. You allow him to restructure his deal. There's no way that Nick Foles was coming to Chicago to just sit as the number two and wait for the moment that maybe Trubisky got hurt or things happened in October or November, if that's when the season hopefully is still going. Nick Foles is here to compete, and we knew that. So to hear both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy say this is going to be an open competition was not a surprise. The challenges, Cap, as I'm sure you realize, are how can you have an open competition when you don't know exactly what training camp is going to look like, if there's going to be a training camp. You know, Matt Nagy talked today about splitting reps and how both guys plan to play in preseason games. What if there are no preseason games, Cap? What if there isn't a training camp that we've all grown accustomed to know throughout the year? So it's tough to say how it's going to look on paper, but make no mistake about it. I mean, if Nick Foles outplays Mitchell Trubisky, and I think a lot of people believe that's going to happen, he's going to be the quarterback of the Bears because they are in a must-win now mode. You can't mess around. We've talked about this before on the show at length. This is a critical year for everybody in that building. Last year, the centennial was such a disappointment not to make the playoffs. The pressure, the urgency is real. It's there. They got to get better play from their quarterback. And if Trubisky can't get it done, they have no problems whatsoever beginning the year with Nick Foles as the number one guy.
In listening to what they said, and they, again, no comment on Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option, do you think they're going to pick it up?
I don't think so. I think if they were going to pick it up, they would have already picked it up. You know, if it's the best case scenario, let's say, Cap, that Trubisky, you know, the shoulder rehabs properly, and we asked Nagy and Pace about that today.
And they're
Pace,
still able, Miller, Smith, Trubisky, and Burton are allowed in the building from a rehab standpoint, but that's
correct.
It.
And they're still, you know, keeping close eyes, tabs on those guys. They still think that the timeline is going to be this summer, whenever, again, that may be. But let's say best-case scenario, Trubisky just lights it up this year. Cap, they would want to get a deal done with him so fast that that fifth-year option wouldn't be much of an issue. So, like, I think if they could pay him, they would love to pay him. But the problem is there's not much to say right now that it's going to work out that way, and he's going to have this great bounce back year, and he's going to be in line for a big multi-year extension. I mean, look, they could pick it up if they want to. It still is only guaranteed for injury only at this point. Next year is when it will be fully guaranteed under the new CBA. But I would say right now, the way they keep putting this off, if they would have picked it, if they wanted to pick it up, they could have easily picked it up already, Cap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no question about it. And it's only guaranteed for injury
this
but
year.
Still. Right.
Yeah.
But the worst would be, oh, my goodness, he's been terrible, and then you're thinking of taking him out, and he gets hit, and he's got this big injury problem, and now you're like, we're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, if he proves himself and he has a great year, and let's say everything aligns, which, I don't think is going to happen, but let's say everything aligns and the team rallies around him and the Bears are in the playoffs, and they're in the playoffs because Mitchell Trubisky has just emerged again as this great player, they will happily re-sign him to a multi-year deal. It's not as if you know, he doesn't have a fifth-year option holding him in place, that there's no chance that he would stick around in Chicago. I mean, he has got to win this job. There's no more of this being handed to you because you're a former second overall pick. And if you listen to Pace and Nagy today, they claim that Mitch has embraced this, that he understands this, and we'll see if this somehow motivates him the right way.
In terms of the Robert Quinn signing, Ryan Pace said, this is not a shot at Leonard Floyd, but this was a chance to make our football team better. How do you evaluate that statement?
Are you kidding me? I mean, Robert Quinn, did you see my story yesterday on ESPN.com?
Yep.
Robert Quinn was number one in the NFL in pass rush win ratio.
And it wasn't close.
Not even close, over 32%. And that was our good people at ESPN Stats and Info found that out for me. Leonard Floyd was 57th. Look, Leonard Floyd is not a terrible player by any means. But he's not good enough to where they picked him and what they expected of him. It never materialized. So, no, I don't think that this was a move to spite Leonard Floyd. But when a general manager says that he's making his roster better by adding a player and by sort of consequence releasing another one, that tells you all you need to say. I mean, they're not going to, you know, throw a tomato at Leonard Floyd's face or anything. Again, he wasn't terrible, Cap, but where they picked him, moving up ninth overall, what they expected of him, playing with Akeem Hicks, playing with Khalil Mack, and never really having any sort of pass rush, consistent pass rush, that's just not the job that he was brought here to do, and he just didn't do it.
Did Matt give any real clarity on how he thinks he'll be better as a head coach and as a play caller?
I don't think so. I mean, when you're not around the team, Cap, and you don't have the pieces to look at and you're just sitting at home watching film and FaceTiming, I mean, it's hard to know where this is all going to go. I mean, how does anyone become better? Like, how am I better at what I'm doing right now being at home for a couple of weeks?
Right.
How is anybody? I mean, I don't know. I mean, are we doing a good job? We hope we're doing a good job, but I can't tell you that I am, you know, achieving all these great heights with my career while I'm worried about, you know, homeschooling this crazy guy upstairs, you know, work, you know, dog, life, staying safe. I don't know if anyone can sit here and say that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so much better in my job 4 months from now. Maybe if you're doing certain lines of work, but when you're not around your team and you're not showing, you know, applying what you're drawing up, you don't really know. So that wasn't a big topic for today. But I think that he understands that. I'll go back to the combine, Cap. When Matt Nagy stood up there and said, the urgency is so sharp, like, we've got to win. You know, he's got coaches now he feels a little better with, guys with those connections, the previous relationships. So I think that he believes that he will be better, that the whole operation will be better. But until that's actually able to come to fruition, it's just speculation at this point.
The Nick Foles teleconference should be interesting, but I think he will be the consummate pro. Hey, I'm just excited to have this opportunity. Mitch and I work well together. Like, I don't expect there to be more. Like Danny said, we got news out of Hallis Hall when they said it's an open competition. I don't think there'll be any news out of Nick Foles because he will be the guy they exactly expect him to be. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think Nick Foles has earned the reputation around the league as being a great locker room guy and not someone in any way that would say anything that's like outlandish or controversial or hurtful to Mitchell Trubisky. Or, you know, he's not going to sabotage the plans here from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. So I think the news today is that it's going to be an open competition. They're going to split reps if possible. They're going to both play in the preseason. You know, it's hard to have these legit competitions at quarterback in the NFL because time is limited, because you can't drag this on forever. You have to make this decision. And it's even harder, Cap, to try to forecast how this is going to work when you don't know when training camp is going to start,
yeah,
and what kind of training camp it's going to be. I mean, this is reality. You know, people want answers immediately. We are in that society where we expect to have everything mapped out for us within milliseconds of something happening. It doesn't work that way in real life. It doesn't work that way in football. So this talk of an open competition is great, but what if there is no preseason? What if there's only 2 weeks of training camp? How do you have an open competition? I think it goes back to who does the coaching staff trust more? And right now, Cap, who would you say that is? Trubisky or Nick Foles? Who do you think has a higher level of trust already built in between those two?
Nick Foles.
I would say Nick Foles by a mile. And that's why I think ultimately, heading into this really uncertain summer here, I think ultimately it's going to be Nick Foles' job. I think the money is there. I think the relationships are there. And I just don't see Trubisky making these great improvements. He could prove everybody wrong. And I hope for his sake he does. Hope for Pace's sake he does. But reality is that I think it's going to be hard for him to fend off Nick Foles. And even harder now without a true offseason program and a true full training camp, which we think might be the case.
So if you're a betting man, you're betting that Nick Foles starts opening day, whenever that is.
I would say Nick Foles will be the number one by opening day. Again, I'm not a betting man. You know me, Sunshine. I don't like to part with my cash if I don't have to, as far as games of chance. But I would say that everything to me seems like this is going to be Nick Foles' job at some point. I think they're doing the right thing by allowing a competition to happen for a certain period of time. I should also add that, you know, Matt Nagy, who I thought was, and Ryan, very open today and honest, you know, the first day of camp, whenever that's going to be, the first quarterback in the huddle is going to be Trubisky, which makes sense because he's the, you know, quote-unquote incumbent.
Yep.
He's not the new guy. That's how you do it. And then from there, you let the thing play out, and you got to be honest with yourself. And I think they've reached the point now, finally, Cap, where they are honest with what Trubisky is, with what he isn't, and they got to make the right decision for them to win games and keep their jobs.
Well, I'm looking forward to this draft to see if they can get a couple of impact players. I know I was listening to Dan Pompey today. He thinks they got to go corner at 43 or 50. Really have to get a starting caliber corner. I want an offensive lineman. And Mel Kiper was on with us while you were doing the teleconference and said if Cole Kmet is there at 43, he might make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Or a wide receiver. So we'll see where they end up going.
Well, cornerback is very important. That's a premium position, as Dan knows. And it's harder to find good corners later. That's an earlier slot. They have to find a safety. You can find those typically a little later on. And, yeah, I mean, it's not a great tight end class. I mean, look, you signed Jimmy Graham to the contract you signed him to, and both Pace and Nagy said that they felt that they were on board with that decision, that there was more, I guess, there than meets the eye as far as the tape and everything. You know, they got Demetrius Harris. That did happen. He's going to be a part of this whole thing. You still got Trey Burton. Tight end is a big need. Here's the thing, though, Cap. Remember, there aren't as many draft picks this year. You got 2 second-rounders, but you traded your fourth. You don't have a first. I mean, you don't have a lot going on right there as far as high draft picks. So if they're going to be impact guys, they better come in that second round. You got to have a little bit better luck with those second-round picks, and we'll see what they do.
Hey, man, best to Parker. Good luck teaching up there at the e-learning.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, for anyone in Vernon Hills, if you hear the profanity coming from my house, I'm sorry. I don't have the most willing student. Let's put it that way, Cap, okay? So these are very tense times here at my house.
Hopefully he grows to be 6'9 and can just run the floor like Kevin Durant.
Well, I hope so. I said the only way you make this up for me, pal, is by buying me a house in Aruba one day. But and he's like, yeah, no problem. Like, yeah, all right, well, see if that happens.
God bless you.
Take care.
All right, we'll see you. Stay safe and healthy. That is our guy, Jeff Dickerson. We will take a break and play the best sound from earlier today at Hallis Hall. Pace, Nagy. It's all coming up. Biggest name contest. We've got 45 minutes left to overtake Waddle and Sylvie. We need a great, great celebrity call-in. Get it done, people. Be right back.
Cap, cap, cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Rolling on ESPN 1000 with Danny, with Chris. We've had a fun week doing shows here. It's the biggest name contest going on. We had a very, very famous mobster's son call in on the show earlier, Frank Calabresi Jr. So that was an interesting interview. But the Waddle and Sylvie team right now has the lead. No question about it. The best sound from Hallis Hall. I want to play some things for you. This is Ryan Pace on the Trubisky-Foles matchup.
I think just real quick, you know, Mitch is a competitor. I think when you're built that way, you know, competition brings out the best in you. And I think, you know, Matt and I had that discussion with him, and you could feel that in him right away, just kind of that, okay, hey, you know, let's go, you know, what's best for the team. And this is going to bring out the best in all of us. And I think the key word is just that, you know, he embraced the competition. And I think they're both looking forward to it.
He also talked about the competition and the free agent focus that they just went through. This is Ryan Pace again.
In relation to free agency, we signed a number of guys. You know, understand the focus is on the quarterback position. It's been a focus for us with the addition of Nick Foles. Is exactly what we talked about from the start. We've increased competition at a critical position, and we talked to both players, and the way we view this is it's an open competition. And credit to both those guys for embracing it. We've also talked about this a lot, but it's the factor that I steadily lean on is the collaboration between our coaches and our scouts, the collaboration between Matt and I. And I think that's a strength for us right now more than ever.
So they feel like they've got this good quarterback room and that they are all in. That leads us to another big name.
Hi there.
You.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Are connected.
It's not about who you know.
You know people.
Who would you say is the most famous person in your phone?
You know people who are known. Can you get them to call us?
I enjoy American football. I've actually dated a player once, but he wasn't my type, so I set him up with my friend Giselle.
ESPN 1000's biggest name drop. The bigger the name.
I'd say we're dropping names three at a time.
The bigger the prize. Which celebrity can you get to call us?
So we're talking about Bears quarterbacks, and a Bears quarterback's on the phone, and I've known him for a long, long time. I'm actually very good friends with his son, Billy. Bobby Douglas is on the line. My guy, Bobby, how are you? Are we finding you healthy and safe these days?
I am, Cap. I'm in good shape. Billy says hi. I happened to talk to him today. He's got his family all in the house.
It's unbelievable where we're at today.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's just never happened again, I don't think.
We hope to God. So I got to ask you, we just heard from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. They said it's an open quarterback competition between Trubisky and Nick Foles. Mitch will be the first guy in the huddle, but they'll get equal time. Do you believe that?
Well, I believe they got to make a decision at some point more than anything. Yeah, I think there sounds like what they're going to do is they're going to let them compete. Probably a good idea. It can backfire. There are situations sometimes that don't create unity and some of those things. But I think, you know, they got good coaching, and Nagy's a good coach. He knows what he's doing, and they'll work their way through that. But it just sounds like they really want to have an honest competition. And when I say that, I mean honest. That means they really are going to let them compete and decide, coaches will decide who they think can do the best job.
What do you think of Mitchell Trubisky as a quarterback? Because he's obviously very athletic, he's mobile, but he's a guy that a lot of people had rated the number one quarterback in the draft that obviously has not panned out that way. What do you think of him?
Well, of course, that can always pan out. But, you know, you can have more than one good quarterback in a draft, which in that case they did, of course. There were several guys there that were pretty good. Obviously, the Bears might not have gotten the best one. I think Mitch is and I don't know him, but I've liked him. I like his work ethic. I like the way he does things. I think he's a leader. I think right now he's been in a situation where they've kind of been so up and down offensively. I don't think they have a the best offensive line by any means. I think they've had a good offensive line at times. They've had a lot of injuries, as you know. So I think that's really hurt their offensive output. I think Mitch is a very good athlete and can be a very good quarterback. I think, you know, quarterbacks have to be in the right place at the right time. I thought when they brought new coaching staff in, Matt Nagy and his coaches, I thought they looked very good offensively in the beginning, and then they just haven't been able to get things going lately. So it's an interesting situation. It's one of those things I said the other day. I said, well, that's going to be really interesting watching two quarterbacks compete, because normally you really don't like to do that.
What was it like? I'm looking at your numbers from 1972. You started all 14 games that they played. You ran for 968 yards, 6.9 yards per carry. What was it like being the focal point of the offense? The team wasn't great, but every time you had the ball in your hands, the defense was keyed on you. What was that like?
Well, you know, you don't think about that, or I certainly didn't as an athlete or a quarterback. I just kind of looked at it as I needed to be able to do more things. Luckily, we had a coach, Abe Gibron, bless his heart, who was a really good offensive guy himself. He understood that, you know, you have to do more than just the normal things. And he knew he had I'm not bragging, but he had an athlete in myself, and we could do more than just throw the football or run the football, which the Bears wanted to do at all times in those days. As you know, we just had lost Sayers the year before. So, you know, we needed to be able to run the football, and because I was a good runner, we put the option in and ran it, and then, of course, I scrambled a lot. So, we had no problem with the scrambling. We didn't have the protection probably at all times that we needed, and so I could take off and get some yards. So I didn't think about it much. It was one of those things I knew was working. We were very competitive. As you said, not a great football team.
When you picked a college, our executive producer, Danny Zetterman, went to Kansas. You're a Kansas guy. You grew up in Manhattan. Why did
I was born in Manhattan. I grew up in El Dorado.
Okay, in El Dorado. Why did you choose Kansas, not Oklahoma or Texas? I mean, those were some of the big programs.
Well, Texas did not recruit me. Oklahoma did. You know, I got recruited by everybody in the Big Eight at the time. And actually, Arkansas was the big school that I would have that thought I was going to go there because my brother was playing football at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I decided that in the last couple weeks, we had a coach, Jack Mitchell, who was one of the great recruiters. He's the guy that took Gale Sayers after Sayers had signed with Nebraska. And then Gale ended up going to Kansas because this guy, Jack Mitchell, the coach, went down there every weekend and recruited him. Jack did basically the same thing with me, and I just decided, you know, I liked that situation. I wanted to be a little closer to home. It was an hour and 15, 20-minute drive on what we call the turnpike there, and it became a situation where I just more or less wanted to be home. I thought a lot about going to Oklahoma or Colorado, but Arkansas obviously was number one, and then Missouri was also really good at the time. So I don't know. It's one of those things that the kids just decide what they want to do, and they go there.
You were the fourth quarterback taken in that draft. Can you name the other three that went ahead of you in that draft? Do you remember?
Well, yeah. I think Greg Cook.
Greg Cook went fifth overall to the Cincinnati Bengals. The next guy went ninth to San Diego. Do you remember who that was?
Well, that was, yeah. And that's where they thought San Diego was going to take me in. And because one of my coaches was actually in San Diego, John Hadle.
Yeah. And Marty Domers went to them.
Marty was a big kid, you know, pretty good football player. He never played at San Diego, really. But anyhow, just didn't work out. I was very happy to, you know, come to Chicago. They were in a situation where they weren't sure if they were going to go with their quarterback. So luckily in my rookie year, they decided to, which was kind of unusual in those days, to play me. So I was lucky enough to start 9 or 10 games as a rookie. And then, of course, you know, went through a lot of years, ups and downs with the Bears as a quarterback. But always considered myself the starter. So it was a lot of fun. But, you know, it was tough because we just weren't a great football team.
Well, God bless. Please stay healthy and safe. Tell Billy I said hello, and always one of my favorites, man.
Hey, buddy, good talking with you. You're doing a super job. Love listening to you, and give me a call if you anytime.
You got it. You're the best. Have a great day.
Thanks, buddy.
There Bye. You go. Bobby Douglas. His son Billy, good friend, played at Wisconsin basketball. Bobby, 6'4", 225. That guy was a monster. 312-332-3776. We'll play more of the best sound from Hallis Hall next.
Sports talk while you're on the clock. Cap and Company.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. You
I'm kind of a big deal
are connected.
It's not about who you know.
You know people.
Who would you say is the most famous person in your phone?
You know people who are known. Can you get them to call us?
I enjoy American football. I actually dated a player once, but he wasn't my type, so I set him up with my friend Giselle.
ESPN 1000's biggest name drop. The bigger the name.
I'd say we're dropping names 3 at a time.
The bigger the prize. Which celebrity can you get to call us?
Okay, we might have taken the lead. We might have just taken the lead. I'm in the midst of watching Tiger King. I mean, it's the most bizarre, insane thing of all time. And one of the people on the docuseries is a guy named Jeff Lowe. Jeff Lowe from Tiger King. Let me just tell you something. This is an amazing, he was a business partner and a formidable voice in this thing with Joe Exotic. Jeff Lowe is on the phone. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I am about to start episode 4 when I get done with the show today. First of all, what is your opinion of the show Tiger King, and are you shocked that it's become so amazingly huge?
You know, it was pretty accurate. They gave a pretty good rendition of the story. They missed a lot, though. I mean, you guys saw about 10% of what we dealt with with Joe Exotic. He was more impossible than he even appears to be in that docuseries, but you know, we lived it. So watching it, we have all these critiques that someone else might not have.
So how do you team up with Joe Exotic?
Well, if you watch in the docuseries, you'll see us kind of introduced in the end of season or end of episode 4. And Joe found out that we were well-to-do and we were buying a zoo in Colorado. So he solicited us to come out here. We were just going to be his next victims. And he asked me if he could come out and evaluate the zoo I was buying. So I flew him and one of his husbands out and showed him a good time and took him skydiving. And I think he was kind of enamored by all the, you know, it's a big house and we had all the fancy cars and we were going to buy this zoo right down the street. So on our way back to the airport, Joe asked if he could take us to dinner. We stopped at a steakhouse, and that's where he pitched me the idea of coming to buy his zoo, and he was dying of some autoimmune deficiency disease, and he didn't know if he'd have anybody here to take care of his animals. So we kind of went from there. My wife and I flew out to Oklahoma, took a look at it, and we realized that these animals needed a lot of help, and Joe was broke. He was in debt to everyone. Utilities were about to be shut off. So we started stroking checks to the tune of about $85,000 to get the park back on its feet. Joe continued with his ridiculous Carole Baskin battle and costing the park hundreds of thousands of dollars and costing Carole Baskin millions of dollars. So we, Lauren and I kind of advised Joe, and Joe's attorneys advised Joe, that he needed to just dissolve his old entity. And Lauren and I started our own, and we took Joe on as a entertainment director. Once the park was back on its feet making money, Lauren and I just couldn't deal with his drama and all the shenanigans. So we moved out to Las Vegas.
Okay. Okay. So supposedly in Vegas, you had these private cub petting parties. Is that true?
Well, it's not like that. I mean, yes and no. And what I mean is, Lauren and I have always, you know, in my whole life, since I was a young, young boy, I've had big cats. And my family was the circus that eventually became the entire collection of animals for Ringling Brothers. So I've always had big cats. So, you know, I'm USDA licensed. I'm licensed to have them in all 50 states. But you have to also abide by local zoning ordinances when you have a USDA license, which I kind of scoffed at. So Lauren and I had this big house out in Las Vegas, and we had cubs in there. And, you know, we're partiers. We would have parties. Big, huge house. You need to fill it with a bunch of friends and have fun. So we would have house parties, and there's tigers, and there's lemurs, and there's all kinds of stuff running around. So, but occasionally, if somebody like a Conor McGregor or somebody came in after fighting and they having an after party and they wanted the tiger cub at the party, we would take it. I mean, the Mirage has walked us in the front door many times with tiger cubs to let some of the high rollers get their picture with a tiger cub in the suites. So it's legal. I mean, there's nothing, absolutely nothing illegal about it.
So did you wheel the cubs in suitcases through the hotels? Is that true?
That's a crock. What we did, Lauren had this Louis Vuitton animal carrier that we bought specifically for those cubs. That thing was $3,500. It's built just like an animal carrier. It's meant to carry animals. And the suitcase thing, you know, that they showed in that video, that was a reenactment. The producers went out and bought some cheap suitcase, and I don't know where they got a tiger cub to use. They didn't come from here, but they pretended like they wheeled a tiger cub in. That's crock.
All right.
A lot of the stuff was sensationalized just to piss people off, I think.
Okay, are you, I'm starting episode 4. I haven't seen the whole thing yet. But some of our listeners are saying, ask him, are you okay being portrayed as the villain, the bad guy?
You know what? I don't care, because we know the truth. You know, we came in here and we saved all these animals that would have faced certain death because Joe was broke. And, you know, Joe, he was on a Walmart donation program where Walmart would donate. 38 stores were donating food to these cats twice a week. And Joe didn't think that was enough, so Joe went up and started some restaurant down the street from the zoo, and he started taking all the meat that was earmarked for the animals, and he started serving it to people, meat and the produce that Walmart was throwing out. Joe was cooking it up and feeding it to people. So Walmart found out, and they pulled the program from the zoo, so now every morsel of meat that goes to these 200, 600-pound tigers has to be purchased. So Lauren and I go out our guy's picking up meat right now.
So do you have tigers around you right now?
I've got, you know,
they're outside.
Yeah, they're outside. I'm inside our cabin. We live inside the zoo, so we have tigers surrounding our cabin. But you know, if we had video, I'd show you.
So let me ask you this. Are there moments where you wake up and you go, I hope to God I'm not going to jail, or that does not concern you at all?
Doesn't concern me at all. We, you know, we know we didn't do anything wrong, and we are in regular communication with all the parties that were involved, because there's still some loose ends that they're trying to tie up. And in fact, Lauren and I were at the bank this morning trying to get them some information. So I'm not concerned at all. We didn't do anything wrong. Not a damn thing wrong. And they can portray it any way they want. Here's something for people to remember. Is we were in Las Vegas while Joe was soliciting these hitmen. And they had a hitman come in here that was an FBI undercover agent. Joe looked him in the face and told him he wanted him to wheel into a parking lot and cap her and take off. And that FBI agent could, even with that being asked, an FBI agent, he could not take Joe down then. They had to wait until Joe actually produced money to hand to him. So if Joe could look an FBI agent in the eye and say, go kill this woman, what could I possibly have done? You know, there's no overt act. We all knew Joe wanted her dead. He talked about it every single day to every single staff member, to everybody that came in the park. He was obsessed with it. And his obsession started 3 years before he knew me. So there was no setting up. My, you know, Lauren and I, we were forced to cooperate because we were being looked at as an accomplice to Joe, because we owned the park and we were letting him, you know, conduct his shady activity from the park while we were living in Las Vegas. So we had no choice but to cooperate.
Hey, I got to ask you this. So there's a scene in, I think, episode 3 where one of the guys who becomes one of Joe's husbands, Joe says to him, are you straight? Yes. How straight are you? And then they end up getting together and they end up getting married. So I ask you, you're with Lauren. You're married. Did he ever hit on you?
No. No, I'm too old. I'm too old for Joe. Joe would go after, you know, like me, he likes the younger variety of the species. And Joe, I'm too manly for Joe. Joe wanted, you know, weak, drug addicted kids to bring into his harem. And, you know, did he turn straight guys gay? I saw it once. I don't know that the first one or the second one wasn't gay already, but I certainly don't think Travis was.
Do you ever think you'll speak to him again, ever?
You know what? I'd love to have a debate with him over the phone and let him throw out his accusations that he throws out from his jail cell, because I don't know if you saw the videos. Lauren and I uploaded the full versions of the videos where we confronted him to YouTube. And if you watch that, you'll know. I think it'll take out anybody's doubt that we had any involvement, because we call him out on everything.
Well,
and he doesn't come back and say, you did this and you guys did this. You know, he sits there and he just takes it. He can't believe that we're confronting him on everything.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, man. This show is just, like, it's the most whacked out thing I've ever watched, but it's huge.
Well, Netflix called us yesterday and said that it's become the largest television show ever watched in the history of TV. Now, that's not a sporting event. You know, the Super Bowl gets a billion people, but
right.
It's just as TV docuseries or TV shows, it's the largest of all time, so it's a lot of people.
Well, stay safe, stay healthy, and thanks for calling in, man.
Not a problem. Thank you, guys.
You got it.
Love y'all.
You too. See ya. How about that? Danny, we just won, Chris. Just mic drop. Done. We'll take a quick time out. Be right back.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Okay, somebody just tweeted at me and said, the only way Waddle, Sylvie, Carmyrk are topping that is if they get Joe Exotic to call in from jail.
Well, they're arguing in the hallways whether or not he's the biggest or not.
That's by far the winner.
Well, I mean, listen, I think we should win, so I'm never going to poo-poo us. But what they're discussing is, if in 4 years we talk about, hey, remember when we did the biggest name contest in 2020? Is anyone going to remember who Jeff Lowe is? Like, Dennis DeYoung's name lives forever. Jeff Lowe, in 3 years, people are going to be like, who?
You know what this reminds me of? Do you guys remember when Making a Murderer was such a big thing going viral and everyone was talking about it for like a month straight? And then people were booking the two lawyers that were working on behalf right. of Stephen Avery. Mm-hmm. It feels like these characters are going to be much like those lawyers, and in like a month and a half, no one will really know who Jeff Lowe or Joe Exotic are.
Except if he's right, this is the most watched TV show.
Hold on, Cap. Netflix kind of doesn't, they're not very transparent with their information, and they count a lot of clicks to a show where you watch a second of something as a full viewed episode, where TV ratings, you actually have to consume the show for it to count. So I'd be careful with the taking Netflix by its word on it's the most watched show ever.
I will agree with Chris. Every time they release a comedy special, it's
the biggest comedy special we've ever released. Yeah.
You can find enough information out there about people complaining about the way Netflix releases their information about how many people are actually watching things and how it seems to be a little, it doesn't quite add up.
One of our fine P1 listeners, five-time lady man, that tweeted at me when I said, what, he'd been married five times? He actually has his wife and four daughters. He said, rumors are Joe Exotic is in a cell in a facility in southeast Fort Worth. If that's true, I'd live 2 miles from that facility. He got what? He's 16-year sentence, I think. Anyway, that was awesome. That was awesome. I looked up. I went, Jeff Lowe. Wait a minute. That's from the show that Black got me to watch. My wife will not watch it, and I am, like, locked in. Yeah, I'm going to go down. I already worked out. I'm going to get back on the treadmill and just watch.
See, I think what's going to be interesting here is if you finish the series, I wonder if you will have a different perspective on the interview you just conducted because you haven't really seen what Jeff Lowe's about.
Right.
So, like, you're going to change your – I think you'll change your opinion on, like, on the interview once you – because, like – without spoiling it, I have a different perspective than you do. Is that a fair way of saying it without giving anything away?
Yeah, 100%. But Vicky McHenry, who's a P1, said, at the Catman, you guys just made it a competition now, but unfortunately, Waddle and Sylvie still have to bat in the bottom of the ninth. Okay. They got it. They better come up big. You better turn on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball we just threw right by you. 312-332-3776. I do want to play a little more audio from what the Bears Brain Trust said today. Here's Ryan Pace on moving on from Leonard Floyd and signing Robert Quinn for $70 million, 30 guaranteed.
I think when you talked about, you know, free agency in general, first of all, we went into this free agency knowing it was going to be, I guess pretty technical would be the word to say. I think, you know, with the quarterback trade and the outside linebacker addition, weighing Leonard Floyd's fifth-year option, the decision on Trevathan and Kwiatkowski, you know, I think we knew it was going to be a technical free agency. That's why I think the collaboration with the scouts and the coaches kind of helped navigate us through this whole thing. I think one thing we did feel is that people wanted to be here. That's been a couple years in a row now where we, you know, the recruitment was pretty easy. I think when you talk about Quinn and Leonard Floyd, I think, you know, first of all, with Robert Quinn, I think, you know, obviously it's a position we value. One of the, you know, the first things that comes to mind as you're strengthening your team is your pass rush affecting the opposing quarterback. And we just feel like Quinn's a proven pass rusher. He's got excellent edge speed. He's got outstanding ability to bend the corner. And I think, you know, we take a position of strength on our defense and we make it even stronger and more dangerous when you add Quinn and you combine him with the players that are already up there, especially up front. And I think when the Quinn, you know, Leonard Floyd decision, you know, look, Leonard has very good years here. He's a key part of a top defense. And I don't think acquiring Robert's not necessarily a knock on Leonard. It's just doing what's best, we feel is best for our team. And I think you saw how quickly Leonard signed elsewhere. You know, a pretty good contract, so we're happy for him. But for us, it was just, hey, you know, we're constantly tweaking and trying to upgrade our roster, and we feel like we've done that with our pass rush with Robert Quinn.
There you go, Ryan Pace on the signing of Robert Quinn. And this is Ryan Pace on the Floyd versus Quinn discussion.
I think when you talked about, you know, free agency in general, first of all, we went into this free agency knowing it was going to be, I guess pretty technical would be the word to say. I think, you know, with the quarterback trade and the outside linebacker addition, weighing Leonard Floyd's fifth-year option, the decision on Trevathan and Kwiatkowski, You know, I think we knew it was going to be a technical free agency. That's why I think the collaboration with the scouts and the coaches kind of helped navigate us through this whole thing. I think one thing we did feel is that people wanted to be here. That's been a couple years in a row now where the recruitment was pretty easy. I think when you talk about Quinn and Leonard Floyd, I think, you know, first of all, with Robert Quinn, I think, you know, obviously it's a position we value. One of the, you know, the first things that comes to mind as you're strengthening your team is your pass rush affecting the opposing quarterback. And we just feel like Quinn's a proven pass rusher. He's got excellent edge speed. He's got outstanding ability to bend the corner. And I think, you know, we take a position of strength on our defense and we make it even stronger and more dangerous when you add Quinn and you combine him with the players that are already up there, especially up front. And I think when the Quinn, Leonard Floyd decision, you know, look, Leonard's had some very good years here. He's a key part of a top defense. And I don't think acquiring Robert's not necessarily a knock on Leonard. It's just doing what's best, we feel is best for our team. And I think you saw how quickly Leonard signed elsewhere, you know, a pretty good contract. So we're happy for him. But for us, it was just, hey, you know, we're constantly tweaking and trying to upgrade our roster, and we feel like we've done that with our pass rush with Robert Quinn.
There you go. So that is Ryan Pace on the Leonard Floyd, Robert Quinn trade-out that the Bears made, and Leonard Floyd gets a good contract, he said, 1 year, albeit, with the Los Angeles Rams. All right, we will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. One of those two, Waddle, Silva, you guys better come up big in the bottom of the ninth and hit a walk-off home run because Jeff Lowe from Tiger King, going to be tough to beat.